Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Tech Doctor Podcast. This is Robert the Tech Doctor. And as always, along with me is Allison Hartley. And Allison, are you still at CSUN?
You know, I didn't want to come home, but eventually I had to. For a good reason, too, though, because I've brought a friend. I've brought a friend to the Tech Doctor Podcast here today. I cannot say his name yet for confidentiality reasons, but he's a four-legged furry friend.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's a yellow lab, a beautiful yellow lab from Southeastern Guide Dogs, and that's where I am right now. And I had to eventually leave CSUN so that I could come to get him. Yeah, good boy. I had to leave CSUN so that I could come to get him and learn to work with him and train with him. And I've been here for about a week, and it's been life-changing and exhausting and wonderful and all kinds of awesome things this week. It's been really... Really a riot of a week.
Oh my gosh, that was exactly my experience. I've had three dogs from the Seeing Eye, and every time you go there, it's so exhilarating and so challenging and so exciting and so exhausting, all rolled into one that you can't even believe it.
No, you can't. There's no even separating the emotions sometimes. It's just like a ball of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm impressed that you're even able to podcast today, and thanks for doing this. I'm glad you're able to do it.
Oh, no problem. We're happy to be here.
All right. Well, Mr. Mystery Dog, welcome to the Tech Doctor Podcast.
He sends wags.
All right. Good deal. Well, that's really exciting for you, Allison. The dogs really brought a lot of enjoyment and independence and all kinds of challenges and exciting things to me. And during the time I was working with dogs. And so I think it's really cool that you're getting to do that. And I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thanks.
What we want to do today is delve into an article that sort of continues a theme that we started here on the podcast and have been alluding back to from time to time. This whole theme of mainstream iOS devices as compared to specialized note-taking devices. I think it's such an interesting topic and one that is so worth considering in a good bit of detail because there's so many fascinating wrinkles to this whole topic. Someone on the AppleViz.com website wrote a blog post called Comparing iOS Devices with Braille Note Takers. And this was submitted by someone who uses the name Megcap. And I don't know who Megcap is or whether Megcap is even a male or female. I'm suspecting a female because it's a very intelligent, well-written article, right, Allison? And so what I would like to do is play this article and using my Braille sense, actually, and it's using Eloquence, which I have some mixed feelings about. I know Eloquence is kind of coming back. Code Factory is introducing a version of Eloquence for Android. Eloquence was a great synthesizer, but honestly, I think it is a bit behind. And one reason I think that is because when I prepared this article for the podcast, I discovered that Eloquence can't even pronounce iPhone, iPad, and iOS without some help. So I had to use the pronunciation dictionary and make them say these words correctly. So it's just kind of funny to me that people are excited about Eloquence. And it is good speech in a lot of ways, but it is behind, I think.
Yeah, I'm ready for Eloquence to go away, honestly.
Well, you're gonna
it's had its day.
You're going to have to tolerate it for one more day, so at least for this podcast.
All right, I think I can do that.
So I'll start the article with the introduction, and we'll go from there.
Have you ever thought about making the switch from Braille Note Taker to iOS device? Are you unsure which one you should choose? Do you have both, and can't decide which one to invest in moving forward? I made the switch from a Braille Note Apex to an iPhone, quite slowly and mostly by accident, and I'm here to tell you why a Note Taker is the only way to go, and why that metal and glass frisbee in your hand is nothing but trouble. Then, I'll explain why you should ditch that outdated hunk of plastic they call a note taker right away. Finally, I'll explore the possibility of coexistence using both at the same time.
So really, this is, I think, a great introduction to the complexities of this topic, because first of all, the person says that they're going to tell you why there are problems with iOS, and they're going to tell you why you should use a note taker, and then why there are problems with a note taker, and why you should use iOS, and then eventually sort of get to the point where they talk about the best of both worlds maybe is to have both. So I very much agree with this approach to this article.
I do too. I think it's very well thought out in a methodical way of doing it, rather than sometimes the shoot from the hip sort of reactionary things that we sometimes read.
Right.
It's really good, yeah.
Okay, so we'll keep going here with the next section, and then we'll just do what we're doing now. We'll just play a section and make whatever comments we have about it. Here we go.
About me, heading 3. I have been blind since birth, and started using Braille computers when I was 10, and got a Braille and speak. I have used Windows since 2001, a Braille Note since 2002, iOS since 2010, and a Mac since 2011. I work as an assistive technology instructor concentrating on blindness-specific devices and software, and I have even spent 5 weeks at Perkins School for the Blind in Boston, Massachusetts, teaching assistive technology to the students attending Perkins summer programs.
I thought it was good that the person gave some of their credentials, and it made me feel like this is probably a person who has enough experience and credibility to know what they're talking about.
Exactly, yeah.
For years, my Apex was my go-to device, and I can say, with no exaggeration, that I had it with me as often as I possibly could. My iPod slowly crept into the top PDA slot, since it was so much smaller and could do so much more. I used the Braille Note and iPod in conjunction for a year or so, but finally came to the point where speech alone met my needs, and the bulky Apex was more trouble than it was worth. Finally, my Mac and iPhone. I switched to the iPhone in 2012, completely replaced my Braille Note, and now I carry my iPhone even more often than I ever did the Apex or its predecessors.
To me, that really sounds familiar. I think a lot of people have started out with a note taker and then gone to switch to iOS. And at first, that really seems great because its iOS devices are so much smaller and easier to carry. But we'll see how this unfolds.
Yep.
Definitions, heading 3. A note taker, as used here, is a device made specifically for the blind. It has a Braille or QWERTY keyboard, may or may not have a Braille display, is portable, and runs a highly specialized operating system with special applications on it. Examples of note takers include the Braille Note from Humanware, the Braille Sense from IMS, the PacMate from Freedom Scientific, and others. An iOS device is an iPod Touch, iPad, or iPhone. For our purposes, it is assumed to be running VoiceOver and to be new enough to support Braille displays. I may refer to the collective of all accessible iOS devices as an iPhone from time to time, but only because that is what I use. Unless otherwise noted, all iOS devices have roughly the same features and capabilities when it comes to blindness accessibility. Why note takers rock, heading 3. They have gotten a bad rap lately, but note takers are good machines in certain situations. For instance, the Braille Note Apex can accept Nemeth Braille in its word processor. Try to type Nemeth into the Pages app and see what happens. Need to do a calculation? Use your favorite Braille grade. Look up an address, a few quick keystrokes, and you're done. Define a word, put your cursor on it, and one keystroke will show you the definition. Marking or spell checking text is also much easier, and nothing can beat that Braille display, right? Plus, if you love to cart around multiple devices and power cables, then using an iOS device with a Braille display is perfect for you. If you prefer to just have one computer to deal with, then the note taker wins.
Just to update a bit, what this person is mentioning as being true for the Apex is all now true for the HIMS note takers as well. They just released version 8.1 this past week, which does have Nemeth support and also support for PowerPoint files.
Oh, great.
specialized software heading for. While the software and programs on note takers are often more limited, they excel at what they are made to do. They fully support all manner of Braille input and hotkeys, are clear and concise, and you never have to worry about an update breaking accessibility. Plus, you usually have access to help right in the app. A keystroke will tell you what you can do at any point, and or bring up a full list of commands for working with the application.
One of the things that is a bit of a double-edged sword, especially for the BrailleSense products these days, is that the BrailleSense has really taken advantage of the modern technology in the sense that it's added a whole bunch of apps to its repertoire that people tend to use on a computer or an iOS device. Things like connecting to Dropbox, things like being able to view Excel files, things like, in this case, listen to YouTube files, things like that. One of the things that's really great about that is you have access to all these apps on a Braille device, but the downside is that there's a bit of a problem every time YouTube changes their interface or Dropbox changes something or Twitter changes something, which these, unfortunately, big companies do relatively often, then the note taker has to be updated. The firmware has to be updated to work again. And HIMSS is getting much faster and much more efficient at keeping up with this process, but that is just one bit of a downside.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is very nice to have these features in a note taker.
If you can afford one.
Yeah, and we're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah.
Battery life heading for. The battery on modern iOS devices is pretty good, especially on the iPad. However, not only do note takers usually have longer lasting batteries, they normally include user replaceable ones too. If your battery runs low, just pop it out and drop in a new one. Battery getting too old to hold a charge? Buy a new one, and you're done. No machine replacement or expensive repairs needed. The battery on an iOS device, by the way, is only good until you hook it to a Braille display. That constant Bluetooth connection can cause it to drain faster than normal, and enabling voiceover speech will drain it faster still. The note taker gets good battery life with both Braille and speech enabled.
Well, I think I mostly agree with what the person's saying about battery life, although I personally don't experience much more of a battery drain when I have a Bluetooth display connected than when I don't.
No, nor do I. And I don't know if it's just been the note takers that I have used and when I use them, but I never got fantastic battery life from a note taker. I find that I get much better battery life from my iPhone with the Braille display.
Okay, well, that's interesting. The two note takers that I currently have are the HIMSS BrailleSense U2 and the BrailleSense U2 Mini. And the U2, being a 32-cell larger device, has a big battery, and so it probably does get it 15 or 18 hours of battery life between charges. But the Mini, because it's only an 18-cell device and very small, has a small battery, which only gets about, I would say, 5-6 hours, maybe a little more between charges. And that's a downside of the Mini, but the way HIMSS dealt with that is they ship it with an extra battery and an external battery charger. So you can always keep a battery charged and just pop one out and pop the charged one in. And when you do that, you don't lose anything that's stored on the note taker. You don't lose your place in any of your files or anything.
Printing and embossing heading for. Yes, iOS devices can print to certain printers. Braille note takers, on the other hand, support a wide range of printers via several different connection types. Not just that, but note takers can be used with Braille embossers. Find an iOS app that will let you Braille up a document, then make hard copy Braille out of it. You can't. iOS simply does not include embosser drivers, and no embosser will support the protocols that iOS requires, the same protocols many standard printers also lack. Note takers have no such restrictions and caveats.
If you really need to emboss Braille, I certainly see this as an advantage, but I personally have not had a need to emboss hard copy Braille in a very long time.
It's been about 11 years since I had to actually emboss something in hard copy.
Yeah, so I just don't know how important that really is in today's technology, but I'm sure there are specialized cases where people do right. need hard copy. So yeah. it's a good thing to mention.
Definitely.
Full Braille integration heading 4. As mentioned, Braille is at the heart of these note takers. Multiple codes and grades, complete support, such as Braille hotkeys and commands, and special features like choosing how new lines are displayed are all commonplace. In iOS, Braille is supported, but the operating system is still driven more by touch, and, to a lesser extent, QWERTY keyboard commands than it will ever be by Braille.
I get the point here, but I will say that I am able to accomplish just about everything using my BrailleSense U2 Mini connected to my iPhone and using the Braille display and the Braille keyboard to do those things as I am using the touchscreen.
I agree. Same with my Brailliant.
Learning Braille Heading 4. While iOS devices do accept Braille input, there are caveats and tricks you need to know. With note takers, you can choose your grade and code, and what you type is accurately put into your document. For those new to Braille, this is a very valuable tool, since you can check with speech to see if what you wrote is accurate or not. You can also pick your preferred code, and not worry about back translation oddities. Navigation Heading 4. When you navigate an iOS device, even in something you are reading, the only way to move by line, word, character, and so on is with the rotor. On note takers, you have dedicated commands to move through text in different chunks, and highlighting text is a breeze. Spell checking is also simple, while it is difficult to impossible on iOS.
I've heard people say they have trouble with the rotor, but I don't really find it myself any more difficult to use than issuing commands from a keyboard.
Yeah, me neither.
So one of the things that I heard a lot at CSUN, which was a bit frustrating to me, was I think a lot of times developers of the specialized devices are telling people, get my device so you don't have to mess with the touchscreen. But I think that's doing people a bit of a disservice because
I think it's doing them a huge disservice.
The touchscreen really is very usable.
Yeah.
So I think it's a marketing ploy, honestly.
I think so.
Why iOS devices are awesome, Heading 3. Note takers are getting less and less popular. No, I have no hard numbers to back that up. It is simply the trend I have seen personally. Mainstream devices are taking their place and forcing note takers into a shrinking niche they will probably never escape. Why? Well, modular Heading 4. You can hook a Braille display to your iPhone if you want to or not. You can connect a keyboard or not. You can put it in a bulky, protective case or choose a slimmer one. You can bring your iPod Touch instead of your iPad if you need more portability. All these are possible because iOS devices are inherently modular. That is, you can choose the size and which accessories you want to bring. Is the environment too harsh for an expensive Braille display, but fine for an iPhone in a heavy-duty case? Great, just bring the phone. With a note-taker, you have no choice, it's note-taker or nothing. Did your note-taker break? Well, you're out of luck, but if an iOS device breaks, you may well be able to buy a replacement for less than it would cost to repair your note-taker. Plus, so much data is backed up automatically that restoring your new device to the way your old one was is often a matter of a few minutes.
I think these are good points, and I don't disagree with any of them really, although I will say that I do know that the HIMS note takers are selling really well, so it's hard to say how much of a dying market this is.
Cheaper Heading 4. Is the price of a note taker really worth it, especially if you have to finance the purchase yourself? Consider this, you can buy a 32 cell note taker, and only the note taker, for around $5,800. You can buy a 32GB iPod Touch for around $350, a 40 cell Braille display for around $2,700, and we'll even throw in a mid-level MacBook Air for $1,200. You still have to spend over $1,500 before you reach the same cost as the note taker, which offers 8 less cells, so buy yourself a second MacBook with even more upgraded internals. There you go, one note taker, or two max, a braille display, some of which even include basic note taker functions, and an iPod Touch capable of running the latest iOS apps and upgrades. That display, by the way, will work with your two new Macs, and the Macs and iPod Touch will sync with each other, whether through Dropbox, Google, Iclet, or other services. You're lucky to get Dropbox on your note taker, and there's no way you'll be syncing notes, web browser bookmarks, open tabs, reminders, and so on, especially not wirelessly and automatically.
Well, those are good points, and I think everybody's concerned about price.
Mm-hmm. And syncing is another really huge feature for me, and that's why I enjoy the iOS devices so much, because I can just sync my information across multiple ones or on my Mac, and it's just all there.
So many apps heading for. The Braille Note Apex has a small set of applications, with no way for anyone to write more. The Braille Sense has a few more, and offers an SDK for developers to make programs for the platform. However, the intersection of Sense users, and those willing, and with the technical knowledge to create Sense apps, is very small. Android developers can make apps for the app Braille plus SG, but again, how many users of that device will want to be able to do that?
Yeah, I think these points are good ones, although I personally think that at this point, HIMSS is doing a lot more of these developing of relevant apps to the current technology than the other specialized note-taker developers are doing at this point.
I agree. They are definitely at the forefront in terms of keeping their note-takers relevant.
On the other hand, there are hundreds of thousands of apps for iOS, many of which are fully accessible. There are even blindness-specific apps, like Blind Square, Braille, a slew of audio games, and tons more. Want to do something specific on your device? There's almost certainly an app for that, and there are resources like this very website you can use to check on that app's accessibility. No, not every app is accessible, and some really great ones are simply unusable. However, I have at least one app, usually more, on my iPhone that takes the place of each and every program on my Braille Notes main menu. These apps are usually faster, support many more features and options, and are free. In addition, you can request that an app be made accessible, and quite often the developer will do just that. Elaboration heading 4. Nowadays, it is increasingly important to be able to work with other people on a single document or project. Shared Dropbox folders, Iclet-based documents, and so on are the norm. You can virtually hand in assignments, work with others on the group project, keep an eye on work others are doing, and more. iOS devices support this sort of collaboration quite well, while Braille note takers barely have Dropbox support.
Well, I think the point is a good one. Unfortunately, Eloquence isn't pronouncing iCloud correctly.
No.
But hopefully people understand what it's trying to say there. And I think that saying that the HIMSS products barely offers Dropbox support is a bit harsh. The Dropbox support is actually quite good on the HIMSS note takers. But the point that collaboration is not nearly as possible on a note-taking device is a good point.
Yes.
You still have Braille Heading 4. While it is true that iOS does not have the tight integration with Braille that note-takers do, anyone who knows Braille can easily use it with iOS. I would never recommend an iOS device with a Braille display to someone who is learning Braille, but anyone who has basic proficiency is probably going to do fine. Using a display, you can not only type Braille into any edit field in many different codes, but you can see what VoiceOver is outputting as well. There is even a status cell option, which lets you quickly check on the screen curtain or speech mute status, critical battery, and other items.
We both took advantage of these features at CSUN. You were using a Braille display with your phone, and I was using the Braille Sense U2 Mini with my phone at times. And
yep.
I felt like that usefulness was quite straightforward and successful.
Very. I mean, I just fired up the Access Note app, pulled up my notes for the presentation, hooked up Bluetooth my Braille display, and it was ready to go. And it was a virtually, you know, the same kind of experience in terms of reading that you would get on a traditional note taker for a fraction of the price.
it was. I think the advantage the note taker had was at times when we would be in situations where, for whatever reason, it was difficult to pull up a particular website or bit of information on your phone. For example, I had all of the restaurant menus on my BrailleSense U2 Mini, and it was easier to access the menus that way than it was to try to do it with the phone and a Braille display.
Well, that's true. I ended up resorting to reading a lot of them for me on my phone in VoiceDream Reader, which is great, but it took a while.
Yeah, but your point's well taken that there are other ways to do it.
Yeah.
Mainstream support and marketing heading 4. Apple is a huge company, and they market to hundreds of millions of people. That means that they have a very large incentive to make the high-quality products for which they are so well-known, and that developers of iOS apps can tap into a massive market. Do blindness-specific companies have similar motivations? To a lesser extent, possibly, but even the best of intentions do not a note-taker make. Humanware tends to launch a new product every 5 years or so, and when they do, it is behind the times and lacking in hardware and software. Apple puts out several products each year, all of them fully accessible, and app developers flock to them. The upshot for the blind community is a device that has all the advantages of a mainstream product, not a blindness-specific one, while still offering access to every feature right out of the box. Another advantage is mainstream content. For instance, iOS can read iBooks, Kindle, Nook, Audible, and more. You can download iTunes, Google, Amazon, and other music and movies, or listen to Pandora, iTunes Radio, or many other music streaming services. All this is possible because iOS is a large platform, so there is reason for other companies to support it. Will Amazon ever make an app to let Apex or Sense users read Kindle books? Of course not, the market is too small. Yet, when Kindle got on the iPhone, it was eventually made accessible, and now blind people can enjoy Kindle content just like anyone else.
I'll just add that, in case it isn't clear, you can, of course, read the Kindle content on a Braille display. Either a dedicated yes. Braille display or a note taker that allows you to pair it with your iPhone.
More advanced hardware heading 4. As mentioned, even when new note takers come out, they tend to not have the latest hardware. As a result, they can be slower and support less than their mainstream counterparts. For example, the iPod Touch has had Bluetooth 4.0 since 2010. The same year the Braille Note Apex came out, yet the Apex is still using Bluetooth 2.1. iOS devices include the latest in Wi-Fi, storage, RAM, processing, cameras, manufacturing, and so forth, yet are still a fraction of the cost of note takers. This hardware is more than just a speed difference, however, it also leads to more features, such as OCR. I can scan print with my iPhone to get an idea of what it says, or printed bills to find out what denomination they are, or even have the phone tell me when the face is in focus. I can wirelessly exchange files between iOS devices, take full advantage of the latest Wi-Fi routers, and more. Note takers simply can't keep up with the latest hardware. The app note taker does include a camera, but it has worse resolution than the one on the iPhone released in 2012, sharing the spotlight heading 3. Clearly, note takers have advantages that some people will find invaluable, while iOS devices tend to appeal to a much wider audience and be more monetarily accessible. If you have both, however, the question may not be which device you should use, but rather, where does each device fit? As I said, my iPhone has almost completely replaced my Apex. It fits in my pocket, does far more than the Apex ever could, and is much cheaper to replace if it were ever to get damaged. However, I still use my Apex for certain tasks. For instance, I was in a play last year, and during rehearsals, I didn't use my iPhone. While reading from the script, I used my Apex. Sure, the iPhone could have displayed the script in Braille, but I would have had to manually scroll the page each time I reached the end of the text on the screen. I could not have done the text search to jump to a new scene in just a couple keystrokes, and overall, the experience would have been slower. If you are a student and need to type math, you could learn computer Braille and use that to type your homework in Braille on an iOS device. If you already have a note taker, though, why not use that? The Apex and Braille Sense offer Neiman support in their respective word processors. If you know, and are more comfortable with, Neiman, why force yourself to use a different code? For all of us, the trick is to pick the tool that best fits the task. Many of us have access to only one tool, and we make it work. Others, though, have access to multiple tools. If a note taker works better in math class, or for reading copy, or proofreading, or doing calculations, or anything else, there's no sense in not using it. If an iPad is best for reading textbooks, sharing documents, showing a PowerPoint presentation, or anything else, use that. If you have them available, iOS devices and note takers can work in conjunction with each other, according to the strengths of each one. The bottom line heading 3, note takers have their place, but I feel that it is more and more with younger students or those simply uncomfortable or unable to deal with a touchscreen interface. The deafblind, for instance, may have a better time with a note taker since they rely so heavily on Braille. If the pairing between iOS and a display is lost, someone unable to hear speech will be at a loss to fix the problem. Similarly, those with nerve problems or other medical issues that make it hard to use a touch screen or remember a lot of commands may prefer the simpler, more streamlined note-taker interface. Nowadays, iOS devices are a perfectly viable option and offer many great features that note-takers cannot, which outweigh their disadvantages for many people. If you have access to both, using them together is often the ideal solution. If not, though, picking one over the other will usually result in picking the cheaper and more powerful option, the iOS device. The final decision is, of course, yours, and it is wonderful that there are so many options out there today. After all, iOS is not right for everyone.
I really like this article a lot, and I think the points are very clear, concise, well-spoken, and from my opinion, for the most part, right on target.
I agree. Absolutely. I tend to fall more heavily into the iOS with a Braille display camp. Partially that has to do with finances. Partially that has to do with just what I use my devices for. But I think this article did a really good job of stating the advantages and disadvantages of both, either separately or together.
Okay, that said, I realize I may be putting you on the spot just a little bit here, but I want to hear you argue the other side, because I saw you get real excited when you saw the Braille Sense U2 at CSUN.
So I did.
So even if you are, you know, really in favor of the Braille display option, which makes a whole lot of sense for every reason mm-hmm. that you've mentioned, how come the Braille Sense U2 was exciting for you?
It was exciting because there is still something, you know, having grown up primarily using note takers, there is still something to be said about particularly what HIMSS is doing in terms of putting more modern applications like Dropbox and YouTube and Twitter onto a note taker platform, which in many ways will always feel natural and comfortable. Not that iOS doesn't, because it really does, but the fact that they are in a sense marrying mainstream and blindness specific technology has always been very exciting to me, and truthfully the only thing that's really kept me from exploring the Sense products further has really been money, because they're still really expensive. I want that QWERTY Braille Sense U2, but I don't think I'm going to be getting it for a while.
I think those are great points, and I agree completely with what you're saying. I think the only reason not to have both a note taker, especially I'm in favor of the HIMSS products, obviously, But the only reason not to have a HIMS note taker and an iOS device is the cost.
Mm-hmm.
But if one can afford both somehow, mm-hmm. it's an ideal situation because you lose nothing by having the note taker in terms of its capability of interfacing with the iOS device. It can interface just the same way that a dedicated Braille display can. So mm-hmm. you have that world of connection to your iOS device. But with the HIMS products, at least, that's just running in a terminal window. So you can multitask and switch out of the terminal window and do something on the dedicated note taker, switch mm-hmm. back to the terminal window, and your iOS device is still there running just like it was when you left it.
Now, with the QWERTY U2, haven't they fixed a lot of the issues where commands didn't work in iOS? Now they fixed a lot of that?
They have. They have changed the keyboard commands and added keyboard commands to make the QWERTY model work
awesome.
iOS.
See, that's awesome. What I would really love to see HIMS do, and if anybody from HIMS is listening, I would love to see a payment plan for their note takers, because I work for a state agency. I buy a lot of these pieces of technology for my clients. I know how expensive they are. As a state worker, I don't make enough money to buy one for myself outright. It would be great if there was some sort of payment plan that would allow the average blind person to afford these products, mainly people who are working and who don't have the support of a voc rehab system.
Well, you know, that's a great point, and I've kind of come to that conclusion. Maybe it's true right now in 2014 that it's not possible for HIMS and HumanWare to drastically lower the price on these very specialized note-taking devices. Maybe it's just how much they cost and how much they have to make to stay in business. Let's just assume for a minute that that's the case.
Okay.
Then really what needs to happen is there needs to be a way for individuals to be able to pay for these devices.
Yes.
There has to, you know, as much money as we have in the U.S. and as other countries have around the world, there's got to be a way for somebody somewhere to come up with a creative financing solution to get these devices in the hands of more people who need them.
I agree, because as I said, money is the only thing that's keeping this out of my hand, and it's going to for a while, a long while, possibly forever, unless we come up with some sort of financing system that allows regular blind people who, for whatever reason, cannot get government support to afford this technology.
Exactly, and maybe that's the road we really need to go down, is to work harder on finding a way to finance it. It's just fascinating to me that people are really beginning to realize the power of having both an iOS and a note-taking device. And it was really great. I tweeted the other day about how much I benefited from being able to use the BrailleSense U2 Mini at CSUN. And I got a response back from Mike Calvo, the former head of Cerotech, who said jokingly, "Don't laugh at me, but I just got a BrailleSense U2 Mini." And for a while, Mike was really opposed to the specialized devices, or at least that was a strong impression that I had from things that he said.
Mm-hmm.
But he has begun to realize the power that you have really when you combine the two.
Absolutely. It's unparalleled. It's unparalleled, and it needs to be made affordable and in that way accessible to all people, because these devices are accessible, but if they're not affordable, then how accessible are they?
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing that's the very frustrating and very sad part about it. There's no question but what they work, just how do most people who need them obtain them? And that's mm-hmm. really where we have a major problem right now.
Yep.
I hope you all have enjoyed this review of this article. I don't know whether this is the way that is best to go about presenting this material. If you didn't like the speech synthesizer or didn't like how we went about it, you know, please let us know. I hope you notice some increased quality in the sound of the podcast. For the first time ever, we're using FaceTime to record instead of using Skype, and I think we're getting a better sound quality.
I agree. Even on this suspect Wi-Fi connection that I'm on here, I feel like we've had much better results than with Skype. It hasn't crashed halfway through. Nobody sounds like they're underwater. It's great.
The unfortunate thing about FaceTime right now is that you can't add more than two people on a conversation. So we'll have to use Skype when we have a guest. But
get working on that, Apple.
Yeah, get working on that. All right. Well, let's bring this to a close, Allison. I know you probably have a busy day there with Mr. Dog, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this podcast this morning, and I'm going to work on getting this one out pretty soon. So,
well, it was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. So thank you all for listening, and we'll be back soon with something else. For now, though, this is Robert the Tech Doctor saying so long.
And this is Allison Hartley and Mystery Dog saying woof woof, and bye everyone.